The bags are almost packed, and we're almost ready to go on the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. And the markets, yeah, they look like they're ready to send us off with some strong momentum. We've got plus signs across the board in grains and livestock.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we wrap up the week with our Friday free-for-all with panelists Jim Wiesmeyer, Pam Johnson, and Sean Haney. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Jim Laurie.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder after you do this, I wonder how many people get on MapQuest.
Yeah.
And start looking for Sparkle City, USA.
I recently saw a documentary on Skinnerd.
Yes.
And one of the guys is from South Carolina.
Yeah.
And he's from some small podunk town. It turns out they called that town Sparkle City.
Sparkle City?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Sparkle City, USA or Sparkle City, South Carolina?
Just Sparkle City, South Carolina.
Okay,
so this would be the capital of Sparkle.
There you go.
Is what I'm thinking. That's how we'll massage that.
Well, we do have City Hall right across the street.
It sparkles, too.
It sparkles all the time.
Twitter picture pending.
Oh, my gosh. Welcome to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. That is Davis Michelson.
Hi-yo.
And we are here to put a wrap on what has kind of been a weird week. You know?
I saw you put in an email, and you're exactly right. We had reports on Monday. It seems like a month ago.
It does. The amount of think time that has been spent on that report alone is enough to... You know what it is?
What is it?
It's enough power to light up Sparkle City.
And that's no small feat.
No, it's really not.
122.1 gigawatts is what it takes.
Yes. And think of everything else that has happened this week, including some comments from President Trump.
Yeah.
I'll just make the statement straight up front.
Okay.
Everybody should know what my status is on President Trump, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been a supporter, but I'm not afraid or unwilling to call him out when he says something ridiculous.
Sure.
Go back to the tariffs. You know, when he says that China is paying us billions and billions and billions.
Billions and billions.
Oh, there it is again.
Billions and billions.
Of dollars to get their products into this country. That's false.
Right.
That has always been false. It is a consumer tax.
Mm-hmm.
Period, end of story. That's why I've always contended that the tariffs were always in his mind when he did the freeing up of business regulations, when he did the tax cuts, when he did the tax reform package.
Right.
It was all in anticipation so that the economy would be able to absorb the negative impacts of a trade war. And now he says, I never said they were easy to win.
Well, yeah.
Come on. See
what he did, though.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He did. Open up this quite yet, but there is a connection between a much closer connection between President Trump and Friday's announcement on the small refinery exemptions than what we anticipated.
Yes.
Jim Wiesmeyer's got that story for us, and we're going to let him give it to us here in a bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Matter of fact, Jim, I know you're listening. We'll start with that.
Okay.
We're going to start with that because I think it's really important.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Well, let's see. Trade talks with China have taken a backseat to protests in Hong Kong.
Terrible.
Demonstrators have been assembling in increasing numbers in Hong Kong since midsummer to protest China's extradition policies regarding the semi-autonomous region.
Now, you realize that you are making a political statement when you decide to call them a protest rather than a riot.
Oh, geez. Let's see. Demonstrations? Do you like that better?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know where demonstrating. All I know is that President Trump, in a nod to President Xi, has been calling them riots.
Right. I'm going with protests. I'm sticking with that.
Okay.
Chinese paramilitary groups, meanwhile, have been assembling and running drills in nearby Shenzhen, which lies just across the border from Hong Kong. Earlier this week, Protesters occupied the Hong Kong International Airport, halting flights and entangling travelers. Beijing called the move an act of terrorism and has not ruled out the use of force to break up the, what were we calling them, riots? Watchers fear if Beijing takes an overtly aggressive stance, trade talks could be interrupted. Analyst Michael Herson noted, quote, should China's security forces stage a large-scale intervention in Hong Kong, the linkage to trade would become direct. Even if he were so inclined, Trump would likely have no choice but to cancel trade talks. Now, trade talks between U.S. and Chinese negotiators have been expected in September.
Yeah. Boy, it would be nice to see some real progress made here. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, and it feels like the relationships that have been established during this long negotiation are breaking down. And that's a red flag on all this.
Right. So with, I mean, with the U.S. siding with Hong Kong, does that necessarily interfere with, I mean, because China wouldn't look very kindly on that, would they?
From our perspective, no. From President Xi's and the Politburo's perspective, damn near an act of war.
Right. Well, meanwhile, China's outbreak of African swine fever is making itself known in Chinese food prices. You know, over there, they just call it food. As pork prices have risen, pork prices in China have risen 27%. China claims 1 million hogs have been slaughtered in wake of the outbreak, although experts agree the number is likely higher. In other news, the U.S. and world economies continue to flash signs of recession. A New York Times article suggested that puts President Trump in a difficult spot, saying, quote, as evidence mounts that the global economy is slowing, President Trump is caught between his pursuit of the trade war with China and his need to keep the U.S. economy humming as he campaigns for re-election. And I would even throw in there the third stool or third leg in the stool here is the Hong Kong situation.
Right. I would agree.
Yeah, he's in a tough spot right now.
Yep.
Well, on a positive note, U.S. retail sales data released yesterday showed consumer spending, which accounts for two-thirds of U.S. total economic activity, strengthened 0.7% in July, but industrial output and manufacturing continued to struggle amid trade-related headwinds.
All right, real quick, let's go ahead and bring Mike on. Mike's in Iowa. Mike, be careful. Watch your language. I'll cut you off so dang fast, you won't know what hit you. Don't use bad language.
Ends on your crop tour.
Yeah.
How are you gonna do all this stuff anyway?
Well, we're gonna do it.
10% of a field.
What?
The ends equal 10% of the field.
I don't know. I don't understand.
The end rows equal 10% of the field.
Oh, the end rows equal 10% of the field. Okay, that's fine.
Well, we never ever checked them. I want to disc them down. You know what I want done with them at 1st of August. See what I was talking about now with
Mike.
The reports that came out.
Oh, my gosh, Mike.
The government and everybody has screwed this all up.
Hey, Wiesmeyer, we've got a guy on here that says we should be back into supply controls.
Well, then we're not reading reports and how they did not work in the past, and especially in a global market. If you're having trouble exporting now, you'll have even more trouble ahead.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
Didn't the good Lord take care of the set aside this year by about 10-15% because we weren't smart enough to do it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good Lord took care of it, didn't he?
Absolutely. Mike, I'm looking forward to seeing you up in Spencer, okay? We'll have the conversation up there, buddy. Thank you. It's Mike in Iowa. I always talk to him in Spencer.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as he started talking about Endros being 10%, let's disc him down. Mike, you go first. We'll watch.
What do you call someone who studies the weather? A climatologist? Someone who evaluates investments? A financial analyst? A person who studies DNA? A geneticist? Who researches markets? An economist? Who handles employees? An HR manager? And someone who does all these things? A farmer. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
We're joined today by Joan Ruskamp, past chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, to talk about what your dollar does to promote demand for beef. Joan, what's new with the beef checkoff?
Thanks for having me on. According to our most recent producer survey, 80% of producers today say the checkoff drives demand for beef. So I'd like to share some of the ways we're doing that. One example is foreign marketing. We're exporting about $8 billion worth of beef overseas. That's huge, especially considering how we've opened up markets in Asia, creating value for producers around $320 per head slaughtered. Additionally, the checkoff has helped boost retail meat case sales to a six-year high, with strong demand expected to continue through 2019. We also launched a campaign to showcase real ways the checkoff is using producer dollars to drive demand. It's called Your Dollar Does. You can learn more and sign up for the newsletter at drivingdemandforbeef.com.
That's great, Joan. Thanks for joining us from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. To learn more, go to drivingdemandforbeef.com, funded by the Beef Checkoff.
Attention, Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. If you use dual-ended combat arms earplugs and suffer hearing loss or tinnitus, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer agreed to pay millions to settle allegations it sold defective earplugs to the military that were standard issue to soldiers deployed between 2003 and 2015. If you served during those years, were issued combat arms earplugs, and suffer from hearing loss or tinnitus, call now.
Call 800-820-1659. That's 800-820-1659.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody.
Sam's got the bump thing going on.
Yeah.
He's getting it.
I think he is.
Mm-hmm. He's going to wind up with a job if he's not careful.
He's not careful. That's exactly right. Oh, my gosh. All right. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Chip. That's Davis.
Uh-huh.
And let's get this thing started.
We've had fireworks already this morning.
Yeah. And He's on the line again.
He's back on the line.
He's back on the line. Mike is back on the line. I'm going to go ahead.
You go?
I'm going to do it. Go ahead. Mike, what's on your mind?
Okay. I went up to the Farm Fest there the other day in Minnesota.
Yep.
I got to talk to Colin Peterson and Purdue and him after the meeting.
Yeah.
And there's one thing I didn't get to talk to, but we did talk about China.
Okay.
And I told him, you know, we're not going to – China's, you know, they like to negotiate, and they seem to be doing – better job at it than we are. But until we close our borders from the stuff made in China, period.
Yeah.
You know, they're still winning.
Yeah.
And until we do that, I don't think anybody can actually do anything with them until we cut it off. You know, they've cut off all of our agricultural stuff. And they did it. I wanted to do it before they did it to show them that we mean business. And they did the same thing just a week ago.
Yeah, Mike, I get your point there.
The other thing, real quick. We need to lower the road tax on ethanol somehow.
Hmm.
So being it's a renewable deal, it's made in America, oil's just
lower.
Okay.
Pam Johnson, Iowa farmer, past president of NCGA. Pam, have you heard anything on any discussion about lowering the road tax on ethanol?
No, but I think Mike brings up some real frustration that's justified. So the answers are there, and specifically on ethanol, it is, as you've talked all week long and we've talked for years, is obey the law, uphold the RFS, and let there be demand for that 4 billion gallons of ethanol that was given away to big oil.
Right. Right, absolutely. Good, points, Mike.
I agree with that 100%. That is wrong, what they've done.
Yes.
But how are we going to overcome it somehow to get the use or demand or just the people to use it more? You know? Yeah.
Well, I have answers you might not like, and that's vote for somebody else in 2020.
It doesn't matter who you vote for. It's who carries the, who does something.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, you still believe the things that were told you in the campaign and told you all this year and in all the tweets this last week, that farmers are whole with MFPs, and then say, am I better off now than I was in 2016? So there are ways to react to what's going on in the news that are proactive and positive. But thanks, Mike.
I just don't know what we're going to do here pretty quick.
Okay, very good. Mike, thanks, buddy. And seriously, I look forward to seeing you up in Spencer. Looking forward to it. All right, buddy. Thanks. All right, Pam.
Yes, sir.
How's things going? How was the fair?
The county fair or the state fair?
State fair.
Well, I haven't been there, but I watched the highlights. But okay. I think so. The highlight of the week for me was seeing the Pork Queen. You know, you maybe saw the Twitter. So the Pork Queen's in her tiara and her long dress after doing the competition, and she sees a sow that's in trouble giving birth to babies in the hog barn and gets down and helps that sow deliver pigs. Now, that is America.
Yes. Yes, that is. That's at least Iowa.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yep. But it was, you know, you asked for good things that happened during the week, and people were really struggling to come up with something. So every day I have to come up with things that I'm thankful for.
Good for you. Good for you. I like that. I like that a lot. Jim Wiesmeyer jumped on in the first segment with Mike there. Jim, thanks for joining us. And, of course, we've got Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio, with us today, too. Everything good there, Sean?
Oh, things are great. How could it – this has been quite the news week between the markets and things the president said. It's been no shortage of things to chat about.
Okay, so what's been the number one topic of discussion on your show this week?
Oh, I would say we've had some really good discussions about China and trying to actually understand what is motivating China. So instead of having the reactionary sort of rhetoric kind of going back, we're going to put them in their place and we got to fix this and fix that, actually digging a little bit deeper. I talked to Charles Burton, who is with the McDonald Laurie Institute, and that's all he does is focus on China. We talked about the Belt Road Initiative and just the long play strategy. Jim's talked about this. Michael Pillsbury's book, 100-Year Marathon, just about how this is the long game for them. But these domestic issues in China, like these Hong Kong protests, riots, whatever we want to call it, how that really does pose a threat to Xi trying to keep his people potentially in control on the mainland if anybody gets any spirited ideas. Been interesting.
Yeah. Jim, what do you think? I made the comment that that one of the things that concerns me is that it appears the relationships are breaking down now.
Yeah, between U.S. and China, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're afraid, and that could be an understatement. On the one hand, Trump was ahead of himself on recognizing the economic skullduggery that China has and continues to do. The alternative negative viewpoint is how he's reacting to that. But this thing in Hong Kong is the major focus now, Chip, because if the troops or tanks come in, then you have a pressure point on both Xi, you know, China's leader, and on Trump to probably pull back the talks.
Well, and we even heard Trump, I think it was yesterday, talk. He kind of crossed swords again. He likes to do that, you know, crossing issues. Talking about how we may have a trade deal after they sort out this Hong Kong thing. So almost using that as a little bit of cover for himself because this trade deal is not coming together as fast as he had promised a lot of farmers and ranchers across the U.S. I found that very interesting.
Okay. Yeah. You know, Pam, did you have a comment there?
No, just listening.
Okay. And another trade issue with President Trump this week, and It came early in the week when he was in Pennsylvania and he made a comment about U.S. wheat exports to Japan And the fact that, he said that Japan is buying U.S. wheat kind of as a goodwill gesture. It's not because they really like it or anything like that. Boy, the National Association of Wheat Growers got all over it. We had a conversation about it yesterday with Michelle Jones, past president of the Montana Grain Growers. Get this, you guys, 28% of Michelle's wheat revenue is driven by those wheat exports to Japan. I just find that a fascinating number. That's a chunk of value in the wheat crop that she is growing. And Jim, we've got a president that's downplaying it and saying that it's not quality driven. It's not. It's so frustrating to see him do stuff like that.
Trump needs to make a campaign stop in Kansas, Chip. Then he would hear his tone deaf, reaction.
Yeah.
Or come to the Iowa State Fair and be on the soapbox and really hear from people out in the countryside who maybe no longer want to just have their photo taken with him, but actually tell them why his policies are killing us.
Yeah, or an autographed hat, because that's been a thing too, according to Purdue. This isn't the first time though he's banged on wheat. If you remember, and the first time it happened, everybody thought it was funny and it's just Trump being Trump, and that was, I think it was a stop in Fargo during the middle of the USMCA negotiations, and I remember him talking about how we need to fix this wheat thing with Canada. Remember he had the cue card and he looked to the side and he's like, wheat. And he's sort of like, why am I even talking about this?
Yeah.
So this isn't the first time that he's done this.
Right.
It's just we're a little bit further down the line. Some of these issues haven't been solved. And people have sort of lost their sense of humor on issues like this because this is
it's worn thin. It's gotten tiresome.
It has. Yeah. But Chip, it's interesting because everybody wondered how a guy from Queens living in New York could do so well at attaching himself to people living in Nebraska or Kansas.
But it's because he's willing to dump the wheelbarrow. That's the whole attraction, I think. He's willing to mix things up.
But on the issues, he's starting to show cracks on these things because he gets in front of a crowd and it's like a wrestling event. It's for the show. It's for the heat. And sometimes he steps on his own toes and says stuff trying to be funny. And it's wearing on people that have supported him very, very strongly in the past.
Yeah, it's wearing on me. And, I worry about the trade negotiations now with Japan, and now everybody has such high hopes for those. And this, so what is it going to take before he starts saying, well, beef to Japan, that's no big deal. It's billions and billions of cars that they send to us. So who are the next people he's going to dump? That's what worries me.
All right. And it all leads to the question, are farmers and rural America going to make a different choice in 2020 than what they did in 2016. We're going to continue the free-for-all in just a moment.
Land, family, good weather. All a farmer needs for the simple life. Just a field, a family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging. And software to run geospatial analysis. And a commercial driver's license for heavy equipment. And a spreadsheet program to help maximize your return on investment. And an understanding of genetics, biology, economics, climatology, banking, global market prices, land lease negotiation, engineering, and HR management. Oh, and estate planning, so you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on earth. So from your friends at Pioneer.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. It's been a little while since I looked at the markets. Yes, we've still got some plus signs going here. Everything pointing to the upside heading into the weekend, Brian.
Yeah, really, pretty solid finish to the week here. And aside from the fact that the markets performed so poorly earlier in the week. I think it is a positive finish. Corn's up about a nickel, and soybeans are almost there as well. But when you look at the price performance, especially in corn earlier this week, it's highly negative overall.
Yeah, absolutely. On Wednesday's close, I think we were 47.5 cents off the Friday close. So it's been a tough week all the way around. It's been a tough week in the live cattle trade as well, but we've got a little bit of strength there.
Yeah, we've stabilized a little bit here to finish out the week. Feeder cattle kind of did that process first, and live cattle have kind of come along. So, after the knee-jerk reaction to the Tyson fire in Kansas, the market's trying to stabilize a little bit here, and I think that's a positive moving forward. We've got probably the worst-case scenario worked in at this point in time, and now the traders are trying to reassess or will reassess as we move forward.
All right. Hey, I'll just we're going to be talking a lot next week, and Brian is going to make himself available to AgriTalk both in the morning and in the afternoon all next week when we are out on the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Brian, travel safe. Godspeed to you and all the scouts out there on the Eastern Leg. Good luck to you, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good, Chip.
All right. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady right here on Markets Now.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer editor and AgriTalk market analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me here in the studio. And we've got a free-for-all going. Jim Wiesmeyer from Pro Farmer, Pam Johnson, Iowa Farmer, past president of NCGA and Mazal, and Sean Haney from Real Agriculture and Real Ag Radio. Okay, got diverted as the show got started, or the free-for-all got started here this morning. I want to jump right back over to where I intended to start. And Wiesmeyer, is there a closer connection to last Friday's announcement on the SREs and the White House than what we thought earlier this week?
Well, President Trump called Wheeler himself, and he said he was tired of the issue and put it out. That's basically bottom line there, Chip.
Oh, good grief. So we grow tired of an issue, so we just move on from it instead of doing it right. Is that it?
Well, I was told, I can't say privately, that he asked about the legal implications, and that's when EPA said that they were within the legal confines that they could do it. In fact, the courts have ruled that initially EPA was not doing those waivers. So he did bring up the legal aspects in a meeting.
Okay. Some of the feedback that I heard early this week, Jim, is that this doesn't reflect well on USDA Secretary Cindy Perdue, because President Trump asked Perdue and Wheeler to get together and come to an agreement on how this would be handled. And if this is the agreement that Perdue came up with, it's not a very good one for agriculture.
it's a chink in his armor. There's no doubt about it. But I think he has a lot to defend himself. But this is a step backward for him. He was not successful in arguing the ag sector side on this one, Jim.
Right, right.
How low do RIN prices have to go, Chip, before this?
Oh, 4 cents.
And, seriously.
They're trading at 4 cents. You know, there are people in the industry that are saying, hey, take a real close look at the timestamps on some of these RIN trades, because it appears that the breakdown in RIN values happened before the announcement was made. Well, if that is the case, then you knew what the announcement was going to be.
So, Chip, you know, President Trump's going to blame anybody. He'll blame Secretary Perdue, but the buck stops with Trump.
Yeah.
And how do you defend that? Especially after this summer, when he comes to the ethanol plant and makes the big speech and he loves farmers, how long are we going to say, oh yeah, he loves us? And I'm starting to see chinks in some of the support for him. Especially last week, you know, dumping that announcement on a Friday late afternoon. I wish it had happened before AgriTalk last week. Mm-hmm. And I see people saying, you know, I could hang with him on the trade, and I've lost a lot of money because of trade, loss of markets, but this does it. This is it. And I'm hearing it verbally, and I'm seeing it on social media. Now, what that means is yet to be seen.
Well, yeah. Go ahead, Davis.
I got to wonder, there's so much division between what Trump stands for and what the Democrat side stands for. They've come to a point where they're leaning so far left, the socialist position. What's the alternative out here, though?
Not all of them. You know, you got to dig into what their policy is, and their policy is not as bad as Trump's. So if you're a Republican, I used to be one until the Republican Party left me. If you're a Republican who has never voted across the aisle before, it might be time for you to dig into policy and ask yourself if you'd be better off under somebody else, even if they had a D after their name. Would you be so supportive of Trump if he had a D after his name?
Right. Give us an example. That who do you like? Who should we be looking at? Who are you looking at?
I like Amy Klobuchar.
That was my dark horse from
you said that
Jim,
before,
the conversation that we had with David
Wasserman.
Wasserman. Thank you. From the Cook Political Report. That was the name that I brought out, was one that I'm looking closely at.
It's interesting you say that, Pam.
The more moderate Democrats right now, though, and I'm going to throw Biden into this group. I'm sorry, you got to. Davis just made a face like I stepped.
I might
on
as
his,
well be eating spam right now.
Like I stepped on his toe and kicked his dog. But let's throw him in there. They're just having a hard time finding their voice.
Yes.
In all of the left-leaning socialist talk.
We can help them with that, right?
Well,
and so, and I really loved your show this week when a farmer called in from Kansas, I believe, and he put out a call to action. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are
Nebraska.
Things you can do if you want your world to look better, if you want your ag world to look better, your farm to be profitable again. There are things you can do. He said support your checkoff. That's one of them. The other one is actually drill down beyond the people yakking on the TV and on the radio and really get to know what policy is going to support your business.
Right.
The studio audience loves that, Pam. Well said.
I think that's the first time the audience has actually applauded.
Well, they're slow to respond sometimes.
They are slow, yes. Yes. Sean?
Very uniform they are. I was going to say, you know, I really do question how people are upset, but I'm not sure they're that upset. They love some of the things that Trump does, and they love the speeches where he's not trashing wheat. There's a lot of things that really, there's a bit of a magnetic force between the two parties. What I ponder, and we've been pondering this since 2016, is what would President Trump actually have to do to drive the farm base away? Because I'm not convinced that they're being driven away. I think people are upset and they're like, he just doesn't get it. We got to educate him. We'll be able to fix this.
Well,
and so like, I just don't know. Like I thought it would be honestly these SREs. I did, yeah. But it's not, at least to this point.
Yeah. Well, Jim, I mean, President Trump said it, right? He said, love me or hate me, you got to vote for me.
Yes, and the key on the Democratic side is for Biden, by the way. Charlie Cook is out with his column today, and he said if this economy were to go down, it's going to boil on the Democratic side between Biden and Elizabeth Warren. And if it's the economy, both of those could make a case, the populist side on Elizabeth Warren and Biden's saying, well, with Obama, we got you through the last recession. On the farmer side, I want to see the polls, the Farm Journal poll, et cetera. I want to see if this is reflective in a reduction. Most farmers tell me that if this keeps going on, or many, they'll continue to vote. However, a few are saying they just won't vote. I don't hear them saying they were going to vote for a Democrat. If they voted for Trump in 2016, they'll just stay home.
Yeah.
Not voting is a vote for Trump.
I agree there.
Interesting.
And I saw the Cook report too, Jim, and it also said further down, you know, this might give an opening to those voices who are not getting so much time on the air, such as moderates like Amy Klobuchar.
Good. Okay. Very cool.
And start to pay attention to Trump talking negatively about some of the economic numbers that are going to be coming out. If this economy does slow with the inversion of the yield curve over the course of the next year, watch for him. Just like he's attacked the Fed, he may start to attack economists and people that are supplying some of those numbers.
Gotcha. Hey, we're gonna jump to John. He's out in the 620. I think that's Kansas. John, welcome to AgriTalk.
Yeah, hey, I called yesterday, and yep. I don't disagree with the political arguments that you're making, but again, big oil is framing us into the whiners and dependent on mandates, which in my party, and you raise some good questions. I would consider Amy Klobuchar, but what shot does she have? I mean, maybe she gets to be Secretary of Ag in a Warren or a Sanders administration. And at least that part wouldn't be screwed up, but the rest of the ticket might be a little scary for me. But we have to define what it is that we want with ethanol. Its greatest value is its octane value.
Amen.
And the crude oil industry wants us to define it on its energy value, which gets us to a buck a gallon. And you can't make that in today's economics. We have to have more than just a political solution. I mean, we can sue EPA till the cows come home, and maybe in 5 or 10 years we'll win, and we'll be long gone by the time the courts will say, you know, it's too bad they're no longer around, but they did have a good point.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We have to transition on building the markets. You know, we did a great job of going into China. It took us a decade before we got to the point, and then a decade later, one of every three beans is being exported to China. We have to focus the same effort across the whole industry on the renewable fuels market, and we can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be diverted, but we've got to do more than what we're doing now on market building.
Gotcha, John. Thank you so much for the call. Really appreciate that. And it goes back to what I've been saying. The environmental aspect of ethanol has to play a more prominent role in the conversation. And just the simple fact that big oil makes money on the octane value of ethanol. We need to make sure that people understand that as well. Well, we've got more of the Free For All up next.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have Arc County right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
The simple life of a farmer. All you need is land, family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging. And software to run geospatial analysis. And an understanding of genetics, biology, climatology, economics, global trading, and estate planning. So you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
We're joined today by Joan Ruskamp, past chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, to talk about what your dollar does to promote demand for beef. Joan, what's new with the beef checkoff?
Thanks for having me on. According to our most recent producer survey, 80% of producers today say the checkoff drives demand for beef. So I'd like to share some of the ways we're doing that. One example is foreign marketing. We're exporting about $8 billion worth of beef overseas. That's huge, especially considering how we've opened up markets in Asia, creating value for producers around $320 per head slaughtered. Additionally, the checkoff has helped boost retail meat case sales to a six-year high, with strong demand expected to continue through 2019. We also launched a campaign to showcase real ways the checkoff is using producer dollars to drive demand. It's called Your Dollar Does. You can learn more and sign up for the newsletter at drivingdemandforbeef.com.
That's great, Joan. Thanks for joining us from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. To learn more, go to drivingdemandforbeef.com, funded by the Beef Checkoff.
They call it the World's Fair of Agriculture, and for good reason. It's all there for the folks who farm, the Farm Progress Show. Make your plans to be in Decatur, Illinois for the 66th Annual Farm Progress Show, August 27th through the 29th. Get more information at farmprogressshow.com. See the latest in farming up close, talk to exhibitors and factory techs, and watch the equipment work in the field. We'll look for you at the Farm Progress Show, August 27th through the 29th at Decatur, Illinois.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
The 2019 Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour is coming soon. Kicking off August 19th, watch for extensive coverage on air and online. The premier sponsor of Crop Tour is Pioneer, with support from IBM, RCIS, RAM, AeroVironment, Titan Tires, Farm Mobile, and Farm Credit Services of America.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that Crop Tour coming up here in just a
moment. I tend to agree with this here, too, by the way. Interesting email there.
Yeah, it is interesting, and it's going to open up a whole new can of worms.
Yeah,
but since you mentioned it, okay, guys, Pam Johnson, Iowa Farmer, Jim Wiesmeyer from Pro Farmer, and Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, got this email during the break. I think it's interesting. I'm not going to put his name on it, but it's another thought.
It might be crazy talk.
It might be. This could be, you know, tinfoil helmet kind of stuff. Yeah. Okay. There are people, quote, I am not saying this, quote,
he's reading now,
quote from the email, there are people who want to control the entire planet, one government for the entire globe. President Trump is one of the few people standing up against the one government for the planet. This would eliminate all individual countries. A vote for a Democrat is a vote for a one world government. Will farming be profitable if the UN runs everything?
If that's the case, how did Trump get elected in the first place? Why the diversion with this guy?
Yeah.
Is one of my big arguments to that.
Wow.
Davis, don't ask such good questions.
Lots of conspiracy theories out there, but
yes.
You know,
yes.
I got to bring it down to my own farm.
There you go.
My own small business, my community, hearing from
my dry cleaner shop, my restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. My hardware store.
Yes.
And everything that I don't subscribe to that theory. I think I don't know how to respond to that. I'll let you guys take a shot at it.
I don't know if we have to quite yet.
Yeah, people accuse Prime Minister Trudeau here in Canada of being very, very interested in that kind of, you know, one world, one government sort of scenario, but it's I don't know. I think Davis asked a very, very good question that sort of puts some of those thoughts to a very, very keen halt.
Yeah. Yep.
Trump talks the way a lot of farmers talk privately, in my judgment. And to balance what we talked about earlier, the MFP2 payments estimated by farmer chief economist Joe Glauber is going to provide $5.1 billion for corn. And remember what they didn't get in MFP1. And wheat, by the way, will get $1.6 billion. Now, of course, that doesn't make the farmer whole, but that's not chump change either.
Mm-hmm. No, gotcha. But that's what Trump believes, that it makes us whole and it pays us off, and he can continue to throw us under the bus and send us payments. Navarro was even quoted saying it will make us whole. And how many times do we have to say we have lost our markets? We have lost the ability to participate as Americans in a global marketplace. And that is hard to stomach.
I don't see, Pam, when you say lost, I find that a bit too far. Losing, yes. Lost, no. We can still do something about it. We can.
Yeah, but do you remember when people were saying it doesn't matter if we lose our markets in China because
we'll
sell it somewhere else and it will flow in there? Well, there are estimates, and I don't have them in front of me, about how long it will take us to get back to be a reliable supplier in world markets, all of them, after this administration.
All right, couple of tweets. A couple of tweets that came in. At Hort Versailles, not sure farmers in general are anywhere near as negative Trump as the hashtag AgriTalk free for all talkers. Dem candidates aren't providing much alternative. We've talked about that.
And then I don't know where Adam Lash one is coming off, but he says, I think Chip needs to take the weekend and relax ahead of PF Crop Tour 19. He sounds a little grouchy after this long week. Hashtag AgriTalk.
I'm doing the best I can here, buddy.
At Davis Michelson, tell him to settle down. Yeah. I don't know where Adam is coming up with this.
It's just because Bryce Harper hit the home run last night, Chip, be honest.
Dude.
Put him right off.
Oh, that hurts. Gosh. That was
that hurts.
That was a spectacular loss by the Cubs.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
It was a slammer.
I thought of Jim first, and then I thought of Chip. I was like, oh, boy, both of you.
You know, but the thing is, they were wearing those cool powder blue unis. You never go against the Phillies when they're wearing those powder blues.
I wanted them to beat the Phillies, and the one time I root for the Cubs, they lose.
Oh, my gosh.
You see what I'm dealing with here,
Adam. Divert, right? We divert. So there's a lot of difference of opinions out there, and you don't have to agree with me, and you don't have to agree with Chip. Mm-hmm. But you don't need to criticize us because we have a different viewpoint or we have some seeds of doubt about how this is really working. And there are those of us who refuse to keep giving Trump a pass on everything he does, whether it's something in agriculture or the economy or the global marketplace or our allies, and the list is long.
Right.
I think that's completely fair.
Yep.
I'll bring it to baseball. A lawmaker said at a sugar meeting last week that Trump hits a lot of home runs, he strikes out a lot, and he's in a bar fight every other night.
Sounds like Babe Ruth.
Yes, it does.
who died on this date many, many years ago at the age of 53 or something like that. Yes,
on
this date.
Look at you.
Holy smokes.
That's impressive.
Wow. Okay, at Corn Firmer, he says, we are all a little grouchy after this week. See you Monday in Grand Island at Chip Flory. Randy, I'm looking forward to seeing you there. We got Crop Tour next week, guys. We're going to be on the road. And you know what? As things stand right now, we're still planning on doing a free-for-all on next Friday. So if you can join us, please do. Please do. Pam, it's always a joy to talk with you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Chip. Welcome
all right.
back.
Thank you. Pam Johnson, Iowa farmer, past president of NCGA. Haney, it was a long week. Have a good week next week.
I can't wait to watch Crop Tour from afar. You have a good time out there.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Appreciate it. Jim, I'll talk to you later, man. Thanks.
I'm watching the pod counts and the girth of corn.
Pod counts and the girth of corn. Love it. All right. Thanks for listening today, everybody. Thanks. You got to come back this afternoon. We're going to do our final Crop Tour thoughts. Pete Meyer from S&P Global Platts and a veteran crop scout will be joining us. And Monday morning kicks off our coverage from the Crop Tour.
What do you call someone who studies the weather? A climatologist. What do you call someone who evaluates investments? A financial analyst. A person who studies DNA? A geneticist. A person who owns their own business? An entrepreneur. Who researches markets? An economist, and who handles employees, an HR manager, someone who keeps devices up to date, a software technician, someone who does business internationally, a global trader, someone who transfers assets from one generation to the next, an estate planner, and someone who does all these things, you call them a farmer. Because being a farmer is the one job that requires dozens of other jobs. And at Pioneer, we're proud that our job is to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.